Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim at Nun Hey. We are right on top of the Amud. Getting back to the Mishnah, which told us that although Min Hadin on Tisha B'Av one may engage in Malacha, however, in some places, in some Mekayimis, they had a minig to refrain from Malacha in order to keep their mind focused on the Avelis of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So there were some Mekayimis that were noyig to have Malacha, some Mekayimis refrained from Malacha. The Mishnah tells us, a Talmud Chacham should refrain anywhere. U'b'chol makayim talmidei chachamim betelum, as the Meiri explains, Talmud Chacham is meant to have a more profound connection to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, feel it deeper, and therefore refrain from Malacha to observe the Avelis properly. However, an ordinary person should not present himself like a Talmud Chacham, which would give the appearance of haughtiness of Gaiva. That's the Shita of the Tanakamal, Shita of Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, any person can go ahead and present himself like a Talmud Chacham in this regard. Loila miyas adam atzmei Talmud Chacham, to feel the Avelis more profoundly and to refrain from Malacha wherever he may be. Now, of course, we're not speaking about turning on the light. Farshim explained it regarding a Malacha, regarding Shihui Zman, something which requires an investment of time, which diverts a person's mind, is Mesech Das, from the Avelis. So that's the Malacha that we're speaking about. So Machlekes, according to the Chachamim, an ordinary person should not conduct himself like a Talmud Chacham. It may appear like he's conducting himself in a condescending manner. It looks like haughtiness, like Yuhara. Whereas according to Shimon Gamliel, anybody has a right to adopt the practice of a Talmud Chacham in this context and refrain from Malacha. It doesn't give the appearance of Yuhara. Says the Gemara, "U'b'chol makom talmid chacham betelum b'chul." L'meimra, do you mean to say that Rav Shimon Gamliel savar lo yichai shinan liyuhara? According to Rav Shimon, there's no concern of appearing like Yuhara, like a Baal Gaiva. Rabbanan savar yichai shinan liyuhara. However, according to Chachamim, we are choishish about presenting yourself like a Baal Gaiva. Therefore, an ordinary person should not go ahead and adopt the chumrah of Talmud Chacham. Is that so? That according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we're not choishish, according to Chacham, we are choishish. But if chashamin elu, but we found elsewhere that their shittas seem to be reversed. That's none. Chassan, as we know, Chassan is pata from Krishma on the first night due to his preoccupation with the mitzvah. Now, Chassanim yirtzel dikris Krishma laylu rishen. If he chooses to, yeah, bikir Krishma, he's going to exert himself and have kavana. May he do so? Kaira, he can do so. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says no. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer loy, kala roitza lito les Hashem yitol. It's not up to any person, unless a person is known to be an extra special tzaddik and a high madriga. Just an ordinary person is not meant to go ahead and live up to these higher standards, which may appear like a gaiva. So loy kala roitza lito les Hashem yitol. Not anybody who would like to apply the Shem, the title of a tzaddik, of a yirei chet, can do so. It appears like he's negating everybody else. Look, I could have kavana even when I'm a chassan. You can't. Let's see Rashi here. So a couple lines up, beginning with the words lita leis Hashem. Not everybody can be noitel Hashem. Says Rashi, keser precious yirei chet, the crown of precious yirei chet, high madreges. She'ini yochel levatel menu. This fellow is basically projecting that he cannot do without Kabbalah's Ol Machos Shemayim, even for one moment. I can't follow the Ptur. I must have Krishma. Not everybody wants to apply this status to himself can do so. Why? What's wrong? The Mechse Kiyoro. It looks like he's conducting himself with gava, with haughtiness, and negating everybody else. We protest, we don't allow it. So we have a steer, because by us, when it comes to Malach and Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not concerned about Yuhara. The Rabbanan are. When it comes to Krishma, it's just the opposite. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is concerned, the Rabbanan are not. Omar Abyechen Mukhlavas Hashita. Indeed, the Shitas were reversed. Somewhere, either here or there, we meant to go ahead and reverse the Shitas back so that they correspond with each other. Rav Shisha Bre Darvidi Omar Loy Seifuch. You don't have to go switch anything around. Everything works just fine. Why? These are two different contexts. The Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Lekasha. There's no kasha between one Rabbanan and the other Rabbanan. Why? Hacha, kiven the kuli alma of the malach. Since, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, right over here, in our Mishnah, everybody's doing malach. V'yu lo yavid, and he is dissenting. He's not conforming to social norms. Mechsa ki yara. Then it appears like gaiva. Because he's deviating. Aval hasa, but when it comes to Krishna, he's just following, towing the line. Kiven the kuli alma kari. Since everybody else is reading Krishna, v'yu nami kari, he's going along with it. So he's following the norm. Lo yimechsa kiyura. It doesn't appear like gaiva. So the point is, are you deviating or going along with the crowd? What about the other stira? The Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Rav Shimon Gamliel loikasha. The two Rav Shimon Gamliels aren't either akasha. Why? Hasam hu deba'in kavan. Over there when it comes to Krishna, which requires kavana. Vanan sadi, we know for a fact, the lo yimatze kavuni daite, that a chassan doesn't have the ability to properly concentrate. Mechsa kiyura. If he insists on exerting himself, it looks like gaiva. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, just because he's refraining from Malacha, it doesn't appear like Yuhara. You know why? He's just being passive. And therefore, Amri, the observer, will say, Malacha, he did less late. He doesn't have anything to do. He's not actively negating social norms. Look, Puk Chazi, go out and take a look. Kama Batlani, Ike B'Shuka, how many idle people are sitting out in the street, sitting on their hands, not doing anything? So just refraining from Malach doesn't give any appearance, doesn't project haughtiness. Perhaps he's idle because there's nothing to do. Okay, so let's recap. We had a stira. When it comes to Malach on Tisha B'Av, the Chacham more concerned about condensation of looking like you are. When it comes to Krishna, they allow any person to adapt the Chumrah. When it comes to Shingam Leel, we find just the opposite. Over here, he's not concerned with you are. Anybody could live up to the standard of Talmud Chacham and be bottled from Malacha. When it comes to Krishna, we don't allow it. So, according to Rabbi Yechanan, we need to switch back the Shitas to make them compatible. According to the second Teretz, no. According to the Rabban, there's no Kasha because as long as you're following social norms, you're okay. When it comes to Krishna, you're just following along with the crowd. Everybody's reading, you're also reading. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, you're deviating. So, we don't allow it. According to Shimon Leel, there's no Kasha because when it comes to Krishna, it appears like you are. What are you doing saying Krishna? You have the ability to machaven more than your standard typical chassan? That looks like gaiva. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, just refraining, remaining passive, not doing malach, it doesn't give any wrong appearances because perhaps there's nothing to do. And therefore, they'll just attribute it to that and it won't appear like you are. Continues the Mishnah. So the parak began was a discussion regarding Malacha on Erev Pesach. And according to that Mishnah, it depends on the Minhag HaMakom. Whether or not you do Malacha on Erev Pesach until Chatzos, it depends on the practice in that particular location. Now we're going to have a Shita, which is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it's not dependent on a Minhag HaMakom. Rather, it was a din. Some communities held that it was Asur all over in the entire world. And some held that it was Mutter. Says the Mishnah of Chachamim Aymerim is going to be Shittas of Yehuda. Be Yehuda hayu oisin malacha b'avir psach mat chatzos. In the Yehuda section of Eretz Yisrael, right, there were three sections: Yehuda, Eivar Hayarden, and Galil. In Yehuda, they would do malacha on Erev Pesach until chatzos. They held that it was mutter. Ube Galil wayu hayu oisin kalikar. In Galil, they held that it was asur. Halayla. What about the night before the 14th, between 13 and 14? But Shamay Oishim, they say it's included in the Isra malacha. You can do malacha until Netzacham. Says the Gemara Meikara, Tana Minhaga. Initially, first Mishnah, now Perek, we began with referencing a minig, Makim Shinagu, to do or not to do malacha. Uba Saif Tana Isura, and now we have a Lashon of Isra in our Mishnah. Beshami Oishin, Silmatirin. Is it a minig? Or is it something which is Asura Mutter? And if you hold it to Asr, then it's universal. It's not dependent on the Makom. So which one is it? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lekashya. Harami Rabbi Yehuda. There are two different shitas reflected here. The first Mishnah now, Perek, which depended this halacha on Minig HaMakom, that was Rav Meir, who says, doing or not doing halacha depends on where you're located. Whereas the Koncha of Yehuda was absolute, either Asur all over, or Mutar all over, depending on your Shita. The Sani, or Rav Yehuda, Yehuda halacha by Rav Psachim at Chatzos, Ubegalil Einon Oysen Kalikar. So Rav Yehuda says, that in the Yehuda section of Eretz Yisrael, they would do malacha, but not in Gal. Amalei Rav Meir. Ma raya Yehuda v'Gadol l'kan. Why are you referencing Yehuda and Gadol in this context? Ela makam shenagu lasas malacha oisin. Makam shenagu shelo lasas ein oisin. It simply depends on the minig amakam. A place which had a minig to do malacha, they do. In a place where they don't, they don't. Why are you specifically mentioning Yehuda and Gadol? Any makam has its own minig. So that's the Bryce. Says the Gemara, Midika Amar, Rabbi Meir Minhag. The fact that Rabbi Meir mentioned Minhag, and he's coming to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. So in what way is he disagreeing? Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda Isur Kamar. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's an Isur. Rabbi Meir is the one that says, to do or not to do Malacha depends on the Minhag, the specific Mak. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that concept. See all that, it's an Isur all over, or Heto all over, depending on your persuasion. So in Yehuda area, they held that it's mutter throughout the entire world. That was their shita. In Gaul, they held that it's asa throughout the entire world. It's not totally in minig hamok. So that answers our kasha. Yeah, the first Mishnah in Alperik, Mokim Shinagu, that was Rav Meir. Depends on minig hamok. This most recent Mishnah reflects Rav Yehuda's shita, who holds that it doesn't depend on minig hamok. Says the Gemara, Vesav Rav Yehuda, Arba'asa mutar basis malacha. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that the Bnei Yehuda, their shita was that you may do malacha on the 14th day? V'atanya, we learned in a brayso, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha-manakesh v'shleisha asa. If a person weeds on the 13th day of Nisan, v'nekar b'yaday, and inadvertently, he finds himself holding a stalk which he uprooted. And he wants to quickly replant it. You know why? So that it becomes mutar through the Minchas HaOmer on the 16th day of Nisan, which is only matar, grain which was already rooted in the ground. Something which is within, embedded in the ground, rooted in the ground, is considered part of the old crop, and the Minchas HaOmer brought on the 16th day of Nisan will be matar that, lachil. But something which only gets rooted after the Omer, that has to wait until next year to get mutar bachil. So he finds himself holding a stalk of a wheat. Shoyslo b'makamatit. He should quickly replant it in a muddy area so that it takes root quickly. Ve'en shoyslo makamagorit, but not in a dry area. That was the Bryce. Bryce tells us he replants it when? On the 13th. B'shloi shasar in, only on the 13th. Ba'abos aloi b'na on the 14th. Why not? If according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can do malacha, at least the Bnei Yehuda held you can do malacha, why can't you do it on the 14th? Why can't you replant it in Erev Pesach? Now, is the point to make sure that it takes root before the 16th? That could be accomplished even by replanting it on the 14th. B'shleisha asar in, you can only replant it on the 13th. Ba'abos aloi, not on the 14th. Why? Michti, shamin elei the Rabbi Yehuda damar. We know that Rabbi Yehuda holds. Kolar kava she'ene keletes. Lishloisha yamim, shuv ene keletes. Any harkava, any grafting, which doesn't take hold, take root, connect within 3 days, will no longer be effective. Will no longer attach itself. So he mentioned grafting, but certainly when it comes to replanting something which takes root quicker than a grafting process. So the point is that it's meant to take hold and take root within 3 days. Now, if you're going to tell me that Abbas or Mutar Basis Malacha, that on Erev Pesach you do Malacha, why does he have to go replant it on the 13th? Vayikar Besar, let him go plant it on the 14th. He'll still have 3 days from then until the 16th in order for the replanting process to be effective, for the stalk to take root. and become mutter by the 16th of Nisan, when you're Makiv the Omer. How's that? Because if you plant it on the 14th, you have part of the 14th, Miksas Hayim Kekulei, it's a universal formula, part of the day has a din like the entire day. So you have 14th, you have the 15th, which is the full day, and you have part of the 16th until the Omer is brought. So you have 3 days right there. Why do you have to go and advance it to the 13th? If you could do Malach and Erev Pesach. Ve'ikar Beisar, you have the 14th, Ve'chameisar on the 15th, U'miksas Shisar, and part of the 16th. Omar Rav Begolul Shano. This price here is describing the people in Golul who held that Erev Pesach is also Vasiyas Malacha. Ve'ikalelya. What about the night preceding the 14th? He can replant it right then. He doesn't have to go advance it to the 13th. And the night time is Mutar Vasiyas Malacha. At least according to Beis Hillel, Amar Rav Sheshes Kebeis Shammai. He was following Beis Shammai that even the night prior to the 14th was included in this. Rav Ashi Amar Loilum Kebeis Hillel was certainly following Beis Hillel. Why doesn't he make reference to the night of the 14th? L'fish in Tarkan Shabani Adam B'lanakish B'layla. It simply wasn't common. It's not common practice for people to go weed at night. Therefore, he didn't refer to such a scenario. But technically speaking, if you would have replanted it during that night preceding the 14th, that would be mutter. To mutter b'malacha, kudem esilol, and you would have sufficient time from the replanting moment until the 16th of the Omer. Ravina Amar lo'elam b'Yehuda. No, we're speaking even in the Yehuda section of Eretz Yisrael, who a mater malacha on the 14th day. So if that's the case, why couldn't he replant it on the 14th? You have the 14th, at least part of it. You have the 15th, part of the 16th, to give you 3 days to allow it to take root and become mutter through the Minchas HaOmer on the 16th. The answer is, Uba Ashrosha, when it comes to taking root, Chad Miktsas HaYoim Kekuli Amrinan. We only apply the concept of Miktsas HaYoim Kekuli one time, either in the beginning of the sequence of days or the end of the sequence. Miktsas HaYoim is an attachment. You have a sequence of days, and you begin with only a partial day. Okay, that's also considered like a day, because it connects to the others. Or if it's at the end. But on both ends of the spectrum, you have a Miktsas on this side, a Miktsas on that side, you can't go ahead and consider it like two separate days. Chad Miktsas HaYoim Kekuli Amrinan. We only apply Miktsas HaYoim Kekuli once. Trei Miktsas HaYoim Kekuli Lo Yamrinan. We can't apply it twice. Therefore, you have to replant it before the 14th day. For instance, on the 13th, this way you have the entire 14th, entire 15th, and the 16th is a Miktsas HaYoim. So since it's at the end, it's the culmination of that sequence, you apply Miktsas HaYoim Kekulay, even part of the day. It's considered like the entire day, because it's attached to the other days. But, had he have planted it on the 14th day of Nisan, then he would not have had 3 days. Because then you have to apply Miktsas HaYoim on both sides. The 14th is only a partial day. The 15th is a full day. And the 16th is only a Miktsas HaYoim. So it's a Miktsas on both sides. That you can't say. So it wasn't a Malacha concern. Rather, it was a Minchas HaOmer concern. You need to have 3 days. And that's why he needed to replant it on the 13th. Okay, so let's sum it up. We had a Mishnah which indicated that the Malacha, Isser Malacha on Erev Pesach as an Isser, not just a Minag. Gemara says it reflects Shitas of Yehuda, who held that in the Golil area of Eretz Yisrael, they held that it was an Isser throughout the world. Whereas in Yehuda, they held that it was Muta throughout the world. The first Mishnah, Makim Shanagu, which indicates that doing or not doing Malacha on Erev Pesach depends on Minag HaMakim, is actually Shitas Rav Meir, who says, depends on your location. If in certain areas of Eretz Yisrael they would allow Malacha, they held it was Mutter, so why does Rav Yehuda tell us they have to go ahead and replant it only on the 13th, not on the 14th? One gave us four answers. Either we're speaking in Golul, where they held it was Asur to do Malacha on Erev Pesach, or as far as the night time, the Gemara says we're following Beis Shammai, that it's Asur even at night, or following Beis Hillel, that it's Mutter at night, but it's not the Derech to do farming at night. And finally, Ravina. Although we're dealing in Yehuda where it's mutter to do Malacha Erev Pesach, but you would not have a total of 3 days before the Omer. Therefore, you have to advance it to the 13th. Continues the Mishnah. So you know that according to Rav Meir, depends on minhag ha-mokom. The Gemara will give us some exceptions. The Mishnah will list us some things which are yoytim and haklal, which are mutter, even in a place where they would refrain from malacha on Erev Pesach. We have some exceptions to the rules. Rav Meir Eimer kol malacha shehischo bo koydim l'arba asar. Any malacha which has already begun, which he began engaging with before Erev Pesach, goimra barba asar. He can complete it on 14th. Since he's only completing it, it's not considered significant enough. A masa malacha and it's mutter. Aval la yaschel ba batchila barba asar. But he shouldn't initiate a new malacha on the 14th. Aval b'shi yochel la goimra. Even though it's a short easy malacha that he can complete, finish on that day, it's still considered a malacha, and he must not engage in it. They're going to give us a list of three professionals who can go ahead and engage in their malacha on Erev Pesach, and this again is regardless of your location. And it's letzorech hamoed, it's being done for the sake, for the benefit of Yom Tov. Gimol umnios oisin malacha ba'avri psach matchatzos. Three professionals can engage in their profession on Erev Pesach until Chatzos if they're doing it letzorech of Yom Tov. Ve'elohein, hachayotim, tailors, vasaparn, barbers, vakoifsin, lodgers, laundromats. Rabbi Yisrael Bida Eimer, afratz onen. Shoemakers as well, they can go ahead and produce shoes on Erev Pesach. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. So getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yisrael says you can complete a malach on Erev Pesach regardless of your location. We're going to have three ways to understand Rabbi Yisrael. Iboilu. So they ask as follows. What does Rabbi Yisrael mean? Litzorech hamoyet nan. He only allows completing a malacha if it's being done for the sake of Yom Tov. So you need to have two factors in favor. It's letzorech hamoed, number one. And number two, he's only completing a malacha. So since he's only completing, it's for Yom Tov, that's okay. Aval sheloy letzorech hamoed. But if it's not for the sake of Yom Tov, afilu migmar nami loy, you can't even complete. One factor is not enough. You need to have two factors, letzorech hamoed and gmar. That's one way to look at it. Oidilma, or perhaps either factor is enough. Either letzorech hamoed, in that case, even initiating a malacha is mutter, or if you're completing a malacha, regardless of what it is and what the purpose is, it's mutter. So either or. Oidilma, or perhaps one factor is enough. Shiloh letzorech hamoed tnan. When the Mishnah says you can complete a malacha, that's even if it's not for the sake of Yom Tov. He's only completing a malacha. Aval letzorech, but if it would be for the sake of Yom Tov, aschulim aschilinan. You can even initiate a malach. Because if it's a Yom Tov, you have that factor in your favor. So according to the first approach, we need two factors in favor. Litzarech and Gemar. According to the second approach, one or the other. Either Litzarech, Yom Tov, or Gemar. Or Dilma, or third approach is that the sole criterion is Gemar. Whether or not it's Litzarech, Yom Tov. Or Dilma, Bein Litzarech Hamoid, Bein Shiloh Litzarech, Migmar in, you can complete a malacha. So which one is it? Tashma. Aval layascha batchil barbasar. The Brisa says, you can't go ahead and initiate a malacha, a new malacha on the 14th day. I feel it's tzitzil katan. Even if you're only producing a small size belt, I feel it's svacha ktana, a small head covering. Now what's the chilish of these items? My afilu. Lav. Doesn't the Brisa mean to say, afilu hani, even these, tzitzurich hamoed, which are being produced for the sake of Yom Tov. Migmarin aschuliloi. You can only complete once you've begun, but you can't initiate it. So apparently, you need to have both factors in your favor. Litzarech and Gemar. Mechlal de shaloi litzarech. Apparently, if it's not litzarech, migmar nami lo gamrim, you can't even complete a malach. You need to have two factors in favor. This is more loy, not necessarily. Loy lam de shaloi litzarech. Perhaps even if it's not letzorech Yom Tov, migmar nami gamrinan. You can complete. Because one factor is enough. If you're completing, it's mutter. As Tosis points out, if it's letzorech hamoed, you can even initiate. So either factor is enough. Perhaps. Umay afilo. So what's the chiddush of these two items? Afilo hani nami. The zutri ninu. Perhaps even these two have a chiddush. Because even these two, which are very small, small, short jobs, the Salkadaita Chamina, perhaps I would say, Haschalosan Zoyigmar Malachta. I would say that when it comes to these, initiation is like completion. You begin and end very quickly. Therefore, it has a din like gemar. It's not a significant choshev malach. Naschabu namel chatchila. Perhaps that would be reason to allow even initiating this malach, even if it's not letzorech hamoyed, because it's considered like gemar. Kamash malon. That's the chiddush of the brayso. No, no. Even though it's short and quick, it's considered a malacha, and it's a hascholas malacha, which is not allowed. But perhaps if it's only a gemar malacha, he's only coming to complete the belt or the head covering, that would be mutter, even if it's not a tzarech hamoed, because one or the other is enough. Either a gemar or if it's a tzarech hamoed. Toshma, let's have another right. Ramei Oimer, kol malacha shi l'tzarech hamoed, whenever he's engaged in a malacha for the sake of Yom Tov, goyimram bar ba aser. He can go ahead and complete that malacha, even if he happens to find himself in a location where they are noyig not to do malacha, but to complete, that's okay. When is this applied? Only when he began engaging this malacha before Erev Pesach. But otherwise, he can't go ahead and initiate a new malacha on the Erev Pesach. Even a small belt or a small head covering. Now, the Brisa clearly told us that you can only complete a malacha which was a tzarech hamayit. Right, we began with Rabbeinu Omer, Kol malacha shi l'tzarech hamoed gemar. So you need two factors in your favor. A, l'tzarech hamoed, and B, gemar. It says, well, l'tzarech hamoed in. Shaloi l'tzarech hamoed lai. Apparently, only if it's a tzarech hamoed and it's a gemar, but otherwise not. So you need two factors in your favor. It says, gemar, not necessarily. Hu adin, perhaps the same halacha would apply, that filu shaloi l'tzarech hamoed nami gamrinan. Even if it's shloy tzarech, you can complete. Because completion, that's the overriding criterion. That's mutter, even if it's not tzarech hamoed. If that's the case, why was the Braisa referencing tzarech hamoed if it's not a necessary factor? V'kamashmon, the Braisa is teaching us a chiddush. Da'afilu tzarech hamoed. Even if it's tzarech hamoed. Migmar in as chuloy. You can go ahead and complete a malacha, but you can't initiate. So the chiddush here is that you can't go ahead and initiate a malacha even if it's tzarech hamoed. Gemar is mutter, whether it's for Yom Tov or not for Yom Tov. That's the one overriding factor here. Gemar. Whether it's a tzarech or not a tzarech. And the chiddush is, even if it's a tzarech, you can't go ahead and be maskel a malacha. Toshma, let's have another right. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol malacha shehi l'tzarech hamoed, goimra barba asar. See here, he says clearly that only a malacha which is l'tzarech hamoed can be completed on the 14th day. V'she'ena l'tzarech hamoed, but if it's not l'tzarech hamoed, asr, then he can't even complete that malacha. So we need two factors in favor, l'tzarech hamoed and gemar. V'oisem malacha v'avir p'sach matchatzois v'mokab shenag. However, in a place where they were noyed to do malacha, then of course you can do it. You can complete a malacha even if it's not l'tzarech hamoed. That's the price. Says the Gemara, let's make a deal. Apparently that's only a heter, because there was a minhag to do malacha there. Then you can go be goymer a malacha, which was not l'tzarech hamoed. Moka mishna go in. Only a place where they had a minhag to do malacha. Loy na go loy, but otherwise you can't do. What can't you do? You can't even complete something if it's not l'tzarech hamoed. Ushma mina. Here we have a clear right that you need both factors at play. L'tzarech hamoed in, shaloi l'tzarech hamoed lo yishmamino. We have a clear raya that unless you have both elements, number one, it's l'tzarech hamoed, and number two, it's gemar, only then is it going to be mutter. So getting back to Rav Meir, who tells us in the Mishnah that regardless of where you find yourself, whichever town, even if it's a place where they don't do malacha, you can complete a malacha which was already initiated before Erev Pesach. The Gemara concludes, but provided it is being done l'tzarech hamoed. The Mishnah continued to list, presented by the Chacham, of three umaniyos, three professions, which can engage in their profession on Erev Pesach, again, regardless of where they're located, and if it's for the sake of Yom Tov. Says the Gemara of Chacham, I mean, shalosh umaniyos. What are these three things? The tailors, the barbers, and the launderers. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, which will explain why. Why is that so? that we made exceptions for these fellows. Hachayotin, tailors, shekein hedyut toifer kedarkoi b'chodesh ha'moed. Since we find that there's an exception made for a person who would like to sew on Chol HaMoed itself, which is certainly more chomer than Erev Pesach. Some Rishonim hold that it's an Issur Melacha Min HaTorah on Chol HaMoed. We find an exception when it comes to sewing, and hedyut, an ordinary layman, not a professional tailor, can go ahead and be toifer kedarkoi in a usual manner on Chol HaMoed. As Rashi will explain for us, since we find exception when it comes to Chol HaMoed, Erev Pesach doesn't have to be more severe. If anything, Erev Pesach is more lenient than Chol HaMoed, and therefore we put sewing in its own category and allowing it on Erev Pesach, even for a professional to do it in his manner, would not be considered a negation, doing away with the Isser Malach on Erev Pesach. It doesn't contradict the concept because it's in a category on its own, since we find that even on Chol HaMoed you can do it. What about barbers, hasaparin, va'koifsin, the laundry people, shekinaba, imdinas hayam? Here too we find exceptions when it comes to Chol HaMoed, because if somebody arrives from a long journey, va'yoytzin beis asurim, a person was let out of jail on Chol HaMoed, misapin and makapsin b'chodesh ha'moed, they can cut their hair, wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. So although a typical person is not meant to do that, Chachamim are concerned that if they allow a person to take a haircut on Yom Tov, then a person will just postpone it and take his haircut then and enter Yom Tov in a disrespectful, giving appearing disrespectful. Therefore, the Chachamim did not allow a person to wash or to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, except when we have these unusual circumstances, a person arriving in Medina Sayyam or going out of Beis Asurim. So since we find exceptions when it comes to the Saparin and the Kaifsin, we apply that to Erev Pesach as well, and we say, well, let's put it in a category on its own, and let's not include it in the Issur Melacha on Erev Pesach. Let's take a look at Rashi. Up on the top line, towards the end of that first line, Chayotin, explains Rashi, Mishum Hachi Sharu Barba'asa, B'chol Mokam. That is the basis for justifying tailoring on Erev Pesach, wherever we are. Why? Since we find a kula applied to tailors, unlike other professions, gabi chodesh ha'moed, explains Rashi, shekein hedyut toifer kedarkoi, mishnei b'moed katan, hedyut she'ein uman, not a professional tailor. And therefore, since we find that hilkach bar ba'asa dekil mechodesh ha'moed, afilu uman amishari, on Erev Pesach, which is definitely a step lower than Chol HaMoed, we allow even a professional. When it comes to haircut and washing clothing, says Rashi, shekinabom din sayom, since we find the kivan the ashkaban hetek tzatz b'chodesh ha'moed, we find somewhat of a heta when it comes to these things on Chol HaMoed, hilkach bar ba'asa dekil, since therefore on Erev Pesach, which is certainly a step down, shari kuli alma, it's going to be mutter in all locations in all areas. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yisrael B'yudah Omer, he adds another one to the list. Afharatz Onan. Also, the fellows who produce shoes. Why? Shekin Oidlu Regolim Misaknin Min Alehin B'chayla Shomayit. We find a heter when it comes to shoe repairing on Chol HaMoed. The Oidlu Regol can go ahead and repair their shoes. So since we find an allowance when it comes to shoemaking, we allow it completely on Erev Pesach. Chacham, however, disagree. They say, well, producing shoes, that's not allowed in Erev Pesach. But my kamifli, what's the basis of their machlekes? Mar Savar, Rabbi Yisrael B'yuda holds, l'meidin tchilas melacha m'seif melacha. We can derive the initiation, the shoemaking process, from the seif melacha, from shoe repair. Since you can repair shoes for the other regal, so it's a similar profession, producing shoes, repairing shoes, we allow it on Erev Pesach. Umar Savar, whereas Chacham hold, you can't compare the two things. It's an entirely different profession. You can't learn tchilas melacha, shoe production, from seif melacha, shoe repair. Just because you can repair shoes on Chol HaMoed, you can't stretch that to producing shoes. It's a different profession. So once again, we have some allowances on Erev Pesach, regardless of the location. If they're engaged in these melachas l'tzarech HaMoed, Chacham gave us a list. Tailors, barbers, and the kaifsim, the ones that wash laundry, they're allowed to engage on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yisrael B'yuda adds production of shoes as well. Continues the Mishnah. What else can you do on Erev Pesach in all locations? Moishivin Shevachim Tarnagoylam Biadalt. On Erev Pesach, and go ahead, the way Rashi learns, Shevachim is a reference to placing a bird on its eggs to produce, to have those eggs hatch, and the Tarnagoylam likewise is describing the hens which are going to be placed on their eggs in order to produce chicks. So one can go ahead and engage in this practice on Erev Pesach. Apparently it's not considered a significant malacha, and is mut. The Mishnah continues, what about a hen that ran away, left its eggs in mid-process? You can go ahead and return it, restore it to its location. Someone's going to ask, well, if you can initiate, certainly you can restore, that's going to be a kash in the Gemara. V'imesa, if the hen should die, you can replace it with another one. You can go ahead and rake away the waste from beneath the animal on Erev Pesach. You can go ahead and take it and clear it out of the area. Take it to the garbage. However, on Chol HaMoed, where tircha was not allowed, we don't allow him to actually clear it out, take it to the trash heap, but you can simply rake it over to the sides. Continues the Mishnah. Malichan kelim umevin beis umen. One can go ahead and transport, deliver kelim, or pick up some kelim from the craftsman house. Even if it's not for the sake, for the benefit of Yom Tov. You can deliver, you can pick up freely. Getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, you can go ahead and place the chicken on the eggs. And should it walk off, you can go put him back in his place. Hashta oy suvi my svinon, says the Gemara. If you can go ahead and initiate it, adurmi boy, if you can go sit him down on his eggs, certainly, if she should walk away, do you need to tell me? You can go and restore her, put her back on the eggs? Which is definitely less of a job and less tircha, and perhaps even involves hefsid, because if you're not going to do it, your eggs will go bad. So what's the point of the Mishnah mentioning both cases? Amrabai yaseifa ason l'choylo shalmayit. The Sefer of the Mishnah is referring to Chol HaMoed. So on Erev Pesach, Moishiv, you can go ahead and initiate the process. It's not considered a full-fledged malacha, as mutter on Erev Pesach. On Chol HaMoed, where you're not meant to exert yourself, involve yourself in tircha. So initiating the process, that's not allowed. But if the hen happened to be sitting on his eggs, and she ran off, you can go ahead and restore it. As Rashi explains, because even on Chol HaMoed, you can do a malacha, you can do a tircha letzirch davar of it to avoid financial loss. And here, there's a davar of it. You're going to lose your ex. Amar Afuna. This allowance on Chol HaMoed to be machzer, the tarnagoilas to the beitzim, is only if two conditions are met. Lo yishanu, this is only said, elo toishloishu lemerda. When it's still within 3 days of the hen's escape. Merda, it's rebellion. So, hadn't left. There were no 3 days that passed since it got up from her eggs. Why? Dakati loy parach, simra mina. Because it's still within 3 days, its warmth is still present in the eggs. Loy parach simra, simra is its warmth. Loy parach has not yet left mina from the eggs. In which case, it's relatively easy to go restore things, put the hen back on her eggs. That's number one, within 3 days of having left them. Number two, va'acha shloisha li shibasa. 3 days have already passed from when it began sitting on those eggs. Meaning, the tarnagol is already sat on the eggs for 3 days. The pasta la bay legamri. Because at that point, once you have 3 days of sitting, the egg is no longer edible. And if you won't restore things, you lose your eggs. So we have two conditions that need to be met. Number one, it must be relatively easy to restore the tarnagoles, but it's still warm. It's still within 3 days of the tarnagoles having left those eggs. That's number one. And then number two, it has to entail a hefset, financial loss here. Meaning, Only if the egg has already been sat on for 3 days, in which case it's no longer edible, then we allow you to engage in this process on Chol HaMoed. So again, the Tarnagel sat for 3 days, rendering the egg inedible, or slightly inedible. It's only roy for people that are not finicky, but it lost its quality. If it's already 3 days, then it's completely inedible. If it's within 3 days, then it's partially edible, and they wouldn't justify the Tirchia. So again, it already sat for 3 days, so it's completely inedible. That's number one. And number two, it hadn't picked itself up 3 or more days ago, meaning it's still within 3 days of having left those eggs, in which case it still have their warmth, and it's easy to restore the tarnagoles. Abel continues the Gemara, La'achar shlesh lemerda. If 3 days have already passed since the tarnagoles left the eggs, the parachlat simra mina, in which case its warmth has already dissipated, and now it's difficult to restore the tarnagoles to the eggs. So that's number one. Or if it's within 3 days of having sat, meaning it hadn't sat for 3 days, in which case the eggs have not yet become completely inedible, somewhat inedible, but technically still roy l'achila, in which case, not so terrible. If the tarnagolis is not placed back on the eggs, loy madrinan, you can't go ahead, it doesn't justify the tircha of putting tarnagolis back on the eggs. According to Rav Huna, two conditions have to be met. Number one, it's easy to replace. It's within 3 days of having left those eggs, in which case they're still warm. And number two, she already sat on them for 3 days, in which case they're completely inedible, and just leaving them as is will result in a hafsid, because there's nothing you can do with those eggs. Rav Ambi Amar, he says no. He says like this. If you have the first condition met, if it's still within 3 days of having left those eggs, in which case it's still warm enough to restore the tarnagolas easily, once you meet that condition, then you don't need to have a second condition. Even if the tarnagolas had not sat on them for 3 days, in which case they're still somewhat edible, it's still mutter. Afilu teshlosh lishivasa me'adrinan, you can restore the tarnagolas to the eggs. Why? Because although they're still somewhat edible, but they lost their quality. Only a person who's not very particular will go and eat it. So since it lost its value, you're going to have some sort of slight hafsid here. Therefore, we allow you to restore the tarnagoles in order to produce your chicks. But my kemiflagi, so what's the machlokes between Rav Ami, who allows, and Rav Huna, who does not allow? Mar Sovar left said Merubah Chashashu. Rav Huna says, Chacham was concerned about a significant loss. Left said more the Chashashu, but not a slight, insignificant loss. And therefore, he says like this. If the eggs have been sat on for 3 days, in which case they're completely inedible, yeah, that justifies the tircha. Because that's a hafsid merubah. You're going to lose your egg. But if it's within 3 days, then it's still somewhat edible, although it lost its value. But it's still somewhat edible. It's only hafsid mut. If you don't restore that tarnagol, you can still sell it for a lower price. That's only hafsid mut. And therefore, the chacham does not allow the tircha to be done. Umar Sava, where Rav Ami holds, left said mu'at nami chashu, the chacham concerned even about a small, insignificant loss. Therefore, he says, even if the egg only sat for a day or two, in which case the tarnagolas sat for a day or two, in which case the egg is still somewhat edible, we still allow you to restore the tarnagolas to produce your chicks, because at that point the egg is not really so edible, you have to sell it at a loss, and therefore, even the hafsid mu'at justifies the tircha. Okay, so the Mishnah told us you can go ahead and initiate and restore. Gemara says, well, if you can initiate, you can place the tarnagolas on the eggs so they can restore it. Gemara says, initiation is in reference to the Erev Pesach. Machzir tarnagolas is in reference to Chol HaMoed, where you can't go ahead and place it. You can't initiate it. But if it left its eggs, you go restore it back to its place. And we have two shitas, according to Rav Huna, only a hafsid merubah justifies a tirchan Chol HaMoed. According to Rav Ami, even a hafsid mut. Continues the Gemara, go from mitachas. Mishnah tells us, you go ahead and drag away the waste from beneath the animals. Tana Rabban, hazevo shebachatzer, if you have the animal waste sitting in the chatzer, masal ken oisel it's done, then you can go ahead and rake it to the sides, but you can't go ahead and actually clear your chatzer and take that stuff out to the garbage. Sheberefes u shebachatzer, if you have zevel in the barn or in the chatzar, moitzino is la'ashpa. You can actually transport it out to the ashpa. Hogu v'kasha. You have a steer within this brisa. First you say, amris zevel shel b'chatzar mesalkin es letzdadin. You can go and rake it to the sides of the chatzar. V'hadatani. Then the brisa says, shel b'refes v'shel b'chatzar. If you have zevel in the refes, in the barn, or in the chatzar, once again, we're speaking about the same chatzar. Moitzino is la'ashpa. You'll clear it out, take it to the ashpa. So which one is it? Amar Abai loy kasha. The answer is, depends what we're speaking about. Kam be a dalit. When the Braisa says that you can go take the zevel out of the chatzar all the way to the ashpa, it's a reference to Erev Pesach. A tercha is mutter. Kam b'chodesh shel moed. When the Braisa says you can only be mesalik the zevel to the tzadon, but you can't actually transport it out of the chatzar, it's a reference to chol moed. We're concerned about tercha. Rav Amar, both portions of the Braisa are referring to Chol HaMoed. This is what the Braisa means to say. Initially, you have to clear it to the sides. Masalik, it's done. But let's say you become so overloaded with Zevel. Im nasa chatze kerefes. If the chatze now turns into a barn, you're full of Zevel. There's nowhere to turn. And then, Matzina is la'ashba. You can't just push it aside. There's nowhere to push it. So you go and you take the Zevel out to the ashba. So according to Abai, we have a kula once again that Erev Pesach has over Chol HaMoed. You can go clear the ashpa out to the zevel out to the ashpa, something that you cannot do generally on Chol HaMoed. Now the Gemara will give us another kula that applies to Erev Pesach in contrast with Chodesh Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah said, Marlichin Kelim, Mavin Beis Uman. You can go deliver and pick up Kelim from the Beis Uman, the home of the craftsman. Omar Papa, Bodik Lon Rav. Rav challenged us. He asked us a kasha. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Moilichin, umevin, kelim, and beis uman. You can go bring, you can take kelim from the beis uman, afal pi, sheinu l'tzorech hamoed, even if it's not needed for the sake of yomtiv. That's our Mishnah. V'raminu, we have a braisa, which indicates otherwise. Ein mevin, kelim, beis uman. You can't go ahead and just pick up kelim from the beis uman, if it's not l'tzorech hamoed. V'im chayshish len, shema yigonbo. If he's concerned about the safety and security of his kli sitting in the repairman's shop there, he's afraid it might get stolen over Yom Tov. Mifan on the chatzar acheres, he still shouldn't bring it home. There's tirchen involved. Clear it out to the chatzar next door. Take it out of the repair shop and put it in a bayis in the chatzar next door. In any case, we see we can't just freely deliver and pick up stuff from a beis uman. Contrast to our Mishnah that allows. Umishaninon. This is Rav Papa speaking, that Rava challenged us, and we answered. Loikasha, the answer is like this. Kanbar ba'asar, our Mishnah which allows free delivery and pickup, is speaking about Erev Pesach. Kanbachoyle shalmoyd, the brisa which restricts, is a reference to chalamoyd. Viboy seyman alapshat, ha'ba'abachoyle shalmoyd. Both the Mishnah and the brisa are speaking about the same, choyle shalmoyd. For the kasha, the answer is kan b'maminay. When the Braisa says leave your kli there, we're speaking that he trusts the uman. He's not going to go sell his item. So you have to leave it there. Kan b'she'enim maminay. The Mishnah which allows is speaking, well, he doesn't trust him. He figures if he leaves it there too long, he might just go sell it. Therefore, he's allowed to pick up his item even if he doesn't need it. Let's erech amud. V'atanya, as we learned in the Braisa, that maminoi and eni maminoi certainly is a very important role, plays an important role and is a factor in allowing delivering and picking up items. Mevin kelim beis uman. You can go and pick up the kli from the beis uman. Kigoin akad beis akador. For instance, a pitcher from the pitcher factory, the bias of the fellow who makes the pitchers. Vakois or a glass beis zagog, the home of the glassmaker. But you can't pick up wool from the home of the fellow who dyes it, because you can only do something with Tzorech HaMoed. You can pick up your pitcher, your glass, but not wool, which is not Tzorech HaMoed. And likewise, you can't pick up a kli from the Beis Uman if it's not Tzorech HaMoed. Let's say the craftsman has nothing to eat for Yom Tov. So you can go pay him. Nicely, you can pay him his wages. But you have to leave the kli by him. Now comes the punchline. If he doesn't trust him, then he can go take it out of his possession. Manichan v'bayis ha-samachle. He should place it in the home next door. He still shouldn't bring it home. But if he's concerned that perhaps It's not safe there. It might get stolen. Mevi'en betzina b'sechbeisei. Should bring it quietly. Should bring it home quietly. So here we see that when there's a lack of trust here, anyway, I mean, that allows picking up something from the Beis Uman, even if it's not a Tzorech HaMoed. And that explains our Mishnah as well, which is speaking in such a case where he doesn't trust him, therefore he's allowed to bring. Now, we had two kashas. We had a kasha, because in our Mishnah we're allowed to go out and pick up any item. So we said, fine. We're speaking that he doesn't trust the craftsman. That explains picking up. What about the fact that our Mishnah allows delivering any item? Tirats to Mabin, you've answered the kasha regarding picking up the item. Moilich and kasha. What about the kasha regarding delivering? Our Mishnah allows delivering something to the Beis Uman on Chol HaMoed. We're assuming that's what we're speaking about, Chol HaMoed. Even if it's not Tzorech HaMoed, whereas the Braisa says, you can't pick anything up. The Tani Ein Mavin, you can't pick anything up if it's not Tzorech HaMoed. The Koshke and the Malich, and certainly you can't deliver. You can't pick up, and certainly you can't initiate by delivering something to him, unnecessarily. So how are you going to answer that kasha? The Braisa doesn't allow, now Mishnah allows. And trust doesn't really play a role here. Why would that allow bringing something to the Beis Uman? Elam HaChavarta, apparently the correct approach is, Kiddush Hanina Meikara, the way we reconciled earlier, that it depends what we're speaking about. Our Mishnah is Erev Pesach, in which case, you're free to deliver, to pick up at will. Whereas the Braisa, which restricts and limits, is speaking about Chol HaMoed, Chol HaShemoed, we're concerned about Tircha, and therefore you can't just deliver, you can't just pick up, unnecessarily. Only if it's a Tzorech HaMoed, or as the Braisa explained, if he doesn't trust him, or in a case where it's not safe and secure, but otherwise, there's no justification for Tircha, unnecessary Tircha, on Chol HaShemoed. So going back to the Mishnah and the Gemara here, we seem to have three discrepancies between Erev Pesach, which is more kal, more lenient than Chol HaShemoed. One regarding placement of the tarnagol on the eggs, which can be initiated in Erev Pesach, but not Chol HaMoed. One regarding clearing the zevel out of the chatzar into the ashpa. And finally regarding delivering and picking up items from the craftsman's home, from the factory, which is allowed, freely allowed on Erev Pesach, but not on Chol HaMoed. Let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. We began with a stira regarding Mechse Kiyura. Why is it that over here, when it comes to Tisha B'Av and Melacha, we find that the Chacham are concerned about appearing like a Baal Gaiva, and when it comes to Shema, they're not. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel over here is not concerned about being a Baal Gaiva. Everybody can refrain from Melacha, but Kirishma, you can't just go ahead and do something different than everybody else. The Gemara says, two pshatim, either you meant to switch around the shittas to make them in line with each other, or the second teretz, which differentiated between the two contexts, and the reason that applies here doesn't apply there, and vice versa. We had a Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda tells us that the concept of doing malach on Erev Pesach is actually not a minhag related concept, it's a halacha. Some held that it's asr all over, some held that it was mutter all over. Rabbi Yehuda tells us that even in a place where they don't do malacha, but to complete a malacha, litzorech hamoed is allowed in all locations. Chacham said, tailors, barbers, and koifsin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even shoemakers can go ahead and produce on Erev Pesach, and concluded with three kulis that apply to Erev Pesach and not to Chol HaShemoed. Take care and atzlocha.